Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we are now done with the 2025 NFL Scouting Combine. And not only do we have a bunch to talk about the Combine, we have a ton of news to talk about regarding the Chiefs just in general, because last week was a very, very eventful week for the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they didn't play any games. And that's because we have a whole bunch to talk about in regards to how the Chiefs are going to address free agency and where that might lead to them going in the draft. A lot of great news. We had to start out and talk about Travis Kelce. That was one of the biggest talking points after the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles. What's going to happen with Travis Kelce? Is he going to retire? Is he going to come back for that year 13? And obviously there was cap implications for that. Now we know. It was announced last week. It was kind of hinted in the press conferences before they actually started the workouts that Travis Kelce was going to come back. But they made it official. It was announced by the New Heights podcast. He also texted Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee show. He's coming back for year 13. We assume his last year with the Chiefs before he retires. How you feeling about that one?
Well, I think it hit.
No, I think it's good that he's coming back because it kind of makes things more clear for the Chiefs and the direction they're going. It's an average to good. Average the better class as far as the tight ends are concerned. I was a little bit disappointed in Gunnar Helm
at the combine, to be honest with you, position.
But you've seen him play, and I think that's a big difference. How does somebody look on tape rather than there? And that's a prime example there. But I think it helps him, you know, figure it out. Like Jared Wiley, he'll be coming back next year after the injury. Obviously, they paid Noah Gray, but tight end. And that's a situation they don't really have to address it this year, to be honest with you, with Travis coming back. And not only that, it gives them an option in the passing game as well that's important. Now you're going to have the same production. He had 97 catches last year. You're going to see that kind of production from him this year. I hardly doubt it. But if Rice, when he gets suspended, it's a guy that you're going to be relying on a lot because he and Rice run a lot of the same routes, you know, of course. So I think Travis, it does impact as far as the draft and the philosophies that they go with.
So I don't think that Travis coming back impacts the draft because I don't think that tight end was going to be a position that they make.
If he was gone, I think they would have.
I don't think they would have because they paid Noah Gray. And they got Jared Wiley still on the roster because, you know, obviously he's a fourth-round pick. So I don't think they would have made a high investment of draft pick unless it was a guy that they really, really thought was, like, a can't-miss player regardless of position. Like, you know, kind of like what we saw with, like, Jayton Hicks last year.
Arroyo's still sitting out there.
Yeah, like, if he was sitting there Ferguson. And they felt like we really coveted this guy, we got to get him. But I don't think they would have been, like, specifically looking for a tight end.
I think it would have been much more important had Kelsey left.
Like I said, I think that because of the way that Rashee Rice kind of fills that role, even if Rashee misses, because I think I was listening to the Only Weird Games podcast with Josh Briscoe, Nate Taylor, Seth Kaiser, I think. On there, like, based kind of what Nate's been hearing, that it might be 2 to 4 games instead of the, we were thinking 4 to 8. They're thinking it might be 2 to 4 for Rashee Rice to be
suspended. Which would be awesome. At least a month.
I think it's probably going to be closer to 4.
Hopefully earlier, like September.
I would love for it to be 2, but I think it's probably going to be closer to 4. That seems to me to be the it seems like an appropriate number for what happened in that scenario. But yeah, I don't think it would have been something that they absolutely needed to hit on, just because I think the way that they use Rashee, a little bit closer to what they were doing with Kelsey anyways. But it is good to have someone that, even if I do think his production is going to go down, his usage is going to go down next year, I still think he provides some value to you. And it's good to have someone with his veteran prowess there, because you know what? Maybe his presence next year helps Jared Wiley take the next step forward as a tight end. And maybe we're talking about Jared Wiley as a better tight end coming out of that 2025 season because of what he gets.
His fourth round selection I really liked.
Yeah,
I like him too. We talked to his head coach on the Character Concerned, our Saturday afternoon show that we had. We brought Sonny Dykes to talk about
the Saturday
cerebral of a football player. I was really looking forward to seeing a lot more, but obviously that was cut short.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunate for Jared Wiley, but yeah, he gets another opportunity. Like I said, he's still got 3 more years on his rookie deal, so it ain't time to go out here and panic right now. But I definitely think that they are in a position where they didn't need to push for a tight end if it wasn't there. But I would have liked Elijah Arroyo, and still would like Elijah Arroyo if they could get him round.
It's an important position, though. I mean, the way Andy Reid uses him, and not only that, it helps your tackles out as well. Great blocking tight ends can help out, and that added bonus of catching the football as well. There's no like Jason Dunn on this team. He could throw in there, and he's bigger than a tackle at tight end to do that. But you know, when your tackles are, you know, struggling on the edge at times, have that tight end that can go in and do it. So I do think that it was important.
And they kind of have that guy with Noah Gray right now. Yep. He's more of an inline tight end than Kelsey is. So I think they can get that from him anyways. Another big talking point that came out last week, the Chiefs are now optimistic that they're going to be able to sign Trey Smith, the right guard for their offensive line, to an extension, which a lot of that came from because the fact that the salary cap number that came out was way bigger than I think anyone thought. We're talking about, what is it, a $27 million increase? Was it $252, I think, last year? Now it's $279 in the 2025
season.
Keeps
going way up.
It's, I mean, massive. I don't think anybody expected this big of an increase. And so now we're talking about that they placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on Trey Smith, which makes sense because you want to figure out what the market is saying about his value. And now you're talking about having Trey Smith on a premium contract. Maybe they rework, they sign an extension with Joe Tooney to create some cap relief for this year. You already got Creed Humphrey on a premium contract. You got Juwan Taylor on a premium contract. You're spending a lot of money on your offensive line in 2025.
Exactly great between the tags. As good as they are in the Pro Bowls and all pros, they're lining up with Humphrey and Trey Smith and Tooney. Humphrey and Tooney, all pros. Then you have a Pro Bowler in Trey Smith. They've struggled on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. You know, that mashing in the middle where that unit is. But yes, spent a lot of money on a group that was really, really susceptible down the stretch. In the Super Bowl, that was the story, was the offensive line just getting worked by Philly's defensive line without even blitzing.
Yeah, and a lot of that, I think, a lot of that was the tackle play. You know, like Joe Tooney was outmatched. He was getting pushed straight back. Jawan Taylor, who actually had been pretty decent as a pass protector, getting pushed straight back the entire game.
And Tooney's a guard. I mean, he's a guard, not a tackle.
Tooney's
doing an adequate job. I mean, right. He made team MVP for a reason.
Right, right.
Because of doing that. But it started to show its ugly head there in the Super
Bowl. It was a situation where you had a guy that generally is not Andy's fit at a tackle position playing that position. We obviously know what happened with Jawan Taylor. Jawan Taylor hasn't really lived up to that contract in his first couple years with the team. It is what it is. And, you know, there were some times like Creed even got pushed back. Trey got pushed back. You know, that's going to happen from time to time. I mean, Trey definitely has some things to improve on as far as a pass protector goes. He's a great run blocker. But, you know, it was unfortunate that you had some guys kind of miscast in some roles. It's the same thing that happened in 2020. Your starting tackles in the Super Bowl against the Bucks were two guys who were backup guards at the beginning of the year. And so now you're playing guys out of position like that. I will say this. If they do make a deal to extend Trey Smith, I think that obviously takes big money left tackle off the table there for sure. I tend to think that they're probably going to spend money on DJ Humphries, get him on like a 2-year deal, manageable money, and then see if they can draft a long-term replacement over the next couple years.
See, I brought up the fact of Tooney. What if he's a cap casualty, and then you had that money, and you move Kingsley to left guard, like he's ready to assume that role? That's just scenarios out there for
it's
the Chiefs.
It's possible,
but they've got to figure something out. Listen, DJ Humphries. Listen, I am fine with DJ Humphries, but again, with his age, and then coming off that ACL, and then he had the injury last year. You didn't really see a whole bunch of them. It'd be tough to sell me on the same offensive line coming back next year, plus a DJ Humphries. There's no guarantee there.
Here's what I'll say to that. One, I don't think that the Chiefs have completely given up on Kingsley as a tackle. I don't think you take a guy in the second round like that. You even traded up one pick to get him. So, like, they really wanted him. You remember Pretty Ricky was tweeting out that they wanted to take him in the first round.
They clearly thought he was a starter because he was named it.
That's what I'm saying. He was immediately. So it's like, I don't think you go from there to, okay, we're going to make you a guard. I think Joe Tooney. I think they're going to try to do what they can to rework his contract.
I think so too.
I don't think the scenario for them getting rid of Joe Tooney to save the $16 million that they can. I don't really think that's that realistic.
I think they rework Mahomes too again.
I definitely think that in more than likely what they're going to do is Joe Tooney gets a rework contract. And then after that, what you're going to do is you're obviously going to get Trey Smith on a. I think they're going to extend Trey Smith. I think they really want to extend Trey Smith. And you know how those first years on those long term deals go. They're really good. They're really good for the team initially because they're pretty low cap hits.
Well, and you're starting to see. Brett Veach, the double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It happens when you start drafting guys like Trey Smith. Uh-huh. It turns out to be, you know, you're paying him more than anybody in the NFL.
And that's going to be part of the game,
when you draft him in the sixth round, like Creed Humphrey. You do redraft. He's a first-rounder. You know, that's a problem. You're drafting everybody in the first round, and then all of a sudden you're paying them like first-rounders because that's the market for them. That's doing your homework and getting good picks.
Yeah. Like I said, I think DJ Humphries is going to be your starting left tackle next year. I think he comes on a discounted deal. Short term, I think a couple years just for, you know, just so he can get a little bit of security. You get a little bit of a signing bonus in there. He gets a little bit of security in terms of guaranteed money. And then I think either they try again with Kingsley Suamataia, or maybe I would assume maybe next year, because this isn't the year to do it. Next year you take a tackle. Because this year's tackle class is not good.
I thought, okay, he's going to be okay at guard. I mean, tackle didn't work out, but then all of a sudden
I think he could probably play right tackle, though. Because he actually, remember the little bit of time he played in place of Jawan Taylor? He actually looked pretty decent.
We saw him inactive, though, even during the Super
Bowl. He wasn't active, and I think it's because they still kind of favor Kingsley at that tackle spot over him. But I wouldn't put it past them to give Wanya a shot to try to take that right tackle spot at some point. You know, I think this is probably going to be Jawan Taylor's last year with the team, because I just don't think it's feasible to keep paying a guy with his quality that much. So I think I wouldn't put it past them to try him or even Kingsley at that right tackle spot at some point. But I don't think they've given up on Kingsley as a tackle quite yet. That just doesn't seem like an Andy Reid, Brett Veach type move. I mean, they still have Sky Moore on their team, and he hasn't done anything in 3 years. And they tried their damnedest to keep Kadarius Toney on the team. And he didn't, aside from the Super Bowl and the one game he had against the Jags in the regular season in 22, he didn't do a damn thing for them. So.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think they've quite given up on him yet. Maybe I'm crazy here, but I don't think it's quite over yet. Another big story. This is talked about a lot by Nate Taylor. Charles Omenihu really wants to be back with the Chiefs. I mean, really wants to be back. He's obviously tweeting through it right now, and you can tell. You know, he had this "Know Your Worth" tweet. What was it, last week? 2 weeks ago. On Twitter, and you know how these guys are. You start tweeting that stuff, like, clearly you want to be back, but your feelings are kind of hurt because maybe you're not getting the offer that you're looking for and whatnot.
But your agent definitely didn't want you telling this kind of information.
I tend to think that they probably see what the market is for him first. And then after that, if he doesn't get that big contract like he thinks he should get, I think he might be back on another short-term deal.
And they're going to have to invest in some money. Right now, Chris Jones is the only defensive lineman on their contract.
So they need to draft at least one defensive tackle.
Chris
anyway.
Jones, he does.
He does. He does. He's really good.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're both in agreement. Probably want to go get a defensive tackle or defensive lineman in general round one or round two. And I think we're both in agreement that, like, Omenihu, as long as he comes back at the right price, because yeah. I don't want them spending. I don't want him to get $15 million a year on it. No, $15 million is a little bit too much. But I am absolutely in favor of them bringing back Charles Omenihu. I think he is a great player, and when he's out there, I think his presence is really great. It's just a matter of like health, and it's just a matter of like because he's what is he like 27 now or 28 now. So it's like you're looking at that age, and he don't have a lot of years left in his prime, and he hasn't played a ton of football the last 2 years.
No,
so that is a concern, I think.
He's 27. Yeah.
27. Okay, so he's
but he turned 28 this year.
So I'm saying so you probably got a couple more years maybe in his prime.
Mm-hmm.
So he's obviously looking for the bag right now as much as he can get. But you know, I think if you're going to bring him back, you want the right price. Couple other guys I think we can already say are probably gone. Justin Reed for sure. I think we both knew that was going to happen when they took Jaden Hicks.
Yeah, Jaden Hicks will be that game.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting a lot of playing time in the middle of the year and on and beyond. And then the other guy is Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton, his number, I've heard CDOT talk to Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack a lot, and the value that Nick Bolton has is very arguable because you could make a case. Like there's some where you're like some talk where like he's gonna be worth like 12 a year. There's some talk that he might just get like a Willie Gay type contract, a 1 year $6 million deal. There's some talk that he might get something longer from a team that kind of does the you want that Super Bowl tax situation.
Linebacker is extremely draftable.
Yes,
and I think that's the situation he's running into.
Yeah, and also I only think elite linebackers are going to get that kind of money. And I don't think he's elite. Like, Patrick Queen got a little healthy contract from the Steelers last offseason.
Not being a pass rusher.
Hurts. And also not being a great coverage linebacker.
Willie Gay is.
Yeah. Willie Gay is their preferred. And even like a Tranquil. He's actually, he's not great in pass coverage.
Better than average.
But he's better than average. I tend to think that more than likely those guys are gone, especially Justin Reed. I think, like I said, we've both been saying probably done. Your guy, Jim Nagy, from the Senior Bowl, he's done a great job over the years. He's now taking the GM role with the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, you're seeing this more and more, that GM role in college football. You have to have it. I mean, you look at what Lombardi with Belichick, the GM role, and Jim Nagy is perfect. That's a perfect fit for Oklahoma doing that. I mean, that's a guy that definitely knows how to scout players.
Now, yeah, he does. I mean, obviously, he's been doing it for years.
I think the Senior Bowl takes a hit without him, though. He was great with the invites and promoting the players.
I can't say that for sure because I'm sure he's got a great team around him that can get those people in.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to immediately say, yeah, the Senior Bowl takes a bit, because I'm sure they've got a nice chain of command there, and maybe they find some people that can go out and replace him. Maybe they got like a second in command I will say this: Nagy was, I think, a great spokesman for that game. And
no, he
also put out a lot of really good information.
He's a good personnel guy.
About the class. Because, I mean, he was the guy that we've been talking about all year who told us very beginning. Like, he had talked to a lot of teams, and they said day three, not as juicy as it had been in previous years.
He gave us good tips about the draft, and also, got to take a look at this guy, man. This guy's tearing up practices every single day. Yep. Check out this guy. Check out that guy.
He was the one that put out the report that eventually turned out to be Siavon Revel Jr. Yep. Ended up tearing his ACL in practice. Unfortunate story, but he was the one that tipped everyone off on that. So I am interested to see that. And that is interesting that you have so many teams now adding in a general manager position with their college program.
You basically got to do it, though. Like, the gap between college coaches and pro coaches has never been this close, because basically it's free agency now with the transfer portal and everything
else. I think they're two sides of the same coin.
So you got different – as a general manager, you have different things to look at. Not only do you look at the recruits coming in, the 4 stars, the 5 stars, 3 stars, whoever, you get that, and you have the transfer portal. You know how many guys from the transfer portal? And then you still get your JUCO guys, if that's the direct.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Action, you want to go? Because the JUCO is different now because it doesn't count toward your eligibility anymore.
Right, right.
So, guys, you go to JUCO. You can send them, you know, to Hutch for a year, get acclimated. Hey, you get 4 years of eligibility still.
Right.
At our school. So, you have all these and the retaining players factors, the nil factor. It is. Much more challenging than it used to be.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. Not only that, but recruiting, because, you know, as you said, like, now you got NIL playing out. You've got you got the transfer portal playing out more. So now you need someone that's going to be just able to evaluate talent.
It's like an NFL front offices. You get the college scouting, and then you get the pro scouting. Right. The guys that are going to be looking at free agents and the guys college, because that's basically transfer portal on one side, who's going to transfer in, and what new players can we go out and grab?
Yeah, so you're. I mean, I guarantee you now you're going to see a lot more of these teams sending scouts to other teams' games so they can kind of get an idea of what to look for.
Keep an eye on Oklahoma guys, because you know Jim Nagy's the type of guy that knows these teams so well. He's had so many guys drafted out of the Senior Bowl. You know, he knows what guys are looking for at the next level.
Yeah, and that's something that could be really interesting for them because, if you got a guy with that kind of experience that knows what these scouts are looking for, they're going to be able to find those guys and coach them up. That's the reason why, like, pro experience, I think, is really big for a lot of these guys in as far as recruiting goes. So, yeah, I think this is a big get for OU. We'll see how it works out for them as far as being able to actually implement that, because you got a lot of other schools in the SEC with a lot of money and a lot of success, and I'm sure that those guys got a Jim Nagy on their side too, so... and then finally, before we start getting to the combine, there's one big news story that's going to come out here is that, you know, we talked about this after like the Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl about how, like, you know, they started doing a lot more measurements now, and the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl did their measurements of players. And so we got some initial numbers out, and then obviously with the combine, they do their own measurements too. And these measurements don't quite add up. So we saw at like for instance, I saw this yesterday all over Twitter amongst the NFL, kind of the NFL scouts, you know, people out there. And the average lineman, in terms of arm length, they were measuring half an inch shorter than what they were at the All-Star Games last month. Well, a little bit over a month.
That's the discrepancy in not only the timing at the combine, but the weighing and the everybody's different. I mean, some schools general managers trust, and some they don't. As far as getting right numbers or wrong numbers, the hand size is interesting, and I talk about it sometimes. It's geeky. Well, no, Andy Reid. This is the big thing with Tooney going to left tackle. Andy Reid has always had 34 and a quarter inch arm length tackles.
Yeah.
But you look at these guys and you look at these first rounders and it's not there.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But yes, it was a big, like I said, the offensive linemen, all of their measurements came back shorter than what they did at the All-Star game, especially the Senior Bowl. And then Jalen Milroe, who's probably second, third round at quarterback for Alabama. His hand size grew by half an inch from his measurements.
That's the part I was like, there's no way. I was seeing stories like late growth spurt. No, he didn't just get a growth spurt between the Senior Bowl and combine.
Half an inch in a month and a half? What are you talking about?
He's growing.
Yeah. Was he like, he's like 22, 23. Yeah, you think he had a late growth spurt?
Yeah, that was, I was just like, come on, man.
These measurements are off.
And way off.
This is the reason why. Like,
maybe you know the guy at the Senior Bowl or whatever. They're giving you the benefit.
Exactly.
Giving you that bump.
Yeah, no, it's like that's the reason why. I think what happens is that, and this is the reason why we have to be very careful about like pro day numbers that we see.
They definitely know the person doing the measurement.
Some home cooking generally with those. We got to be careful about pro day numbers. And I think this is going to call into question a lot of what we see with the All-Star games is like, you know, how do you measure the average lineman half an inch longer at these games than at the combine? That just doesn't make any sense. Like, there's got to be some questions asked, especially next year if this happens again. Because you got to think it probably happens again. You got to think, like, okay, what happened here? What is the, like, I'm interested in the measurement criteria. I want to know how they do it. You know, maybe it was a certain point on the arm that they start the arm length measurement at, and the combine does it differently. We need uniform measurements here so we know.
This is why they should be, you know, the combine being the end-all be-all. It's why these teams, you know, stress for it. And I know that the pro days do a lot of this now. It's what they want the combine. It's the way it should be. I was talking to C-Dot about it earlier, and he says, maybe they should pay these guys to go to it. And I was like, they need to figure something out because, again, all these pro days, a lot of these pro days on the same day, you're really stretching out these personnel departments in the NFL.
Right, and I don't think it's very feasible to pay these guys to do it because I don't think they're going to do it anyways. Like, unless you're talking about a real fat sum, you're talking about like 7-8 figures, which they're not going to do. You're not going to. if we pay you $5,000 to do it, that's not going to work.
I mean, the interesting thing was Isaiah Bond saying he's going to break Worthy's record.
We'll talk about that a little bit. But let's start with day one of the combine, which was last Thursday, and that was the defensive line day. Defensive line, linebackers worked out. Linebacker-wise, I'm gonna keep it a buck straight up. Linebackers not impressed. I was not impressed by the linebacking unit that was out there working out.
As far as but there's some guys, you know,
like I'll say this.
Stutzman and stuff. Okay,
Stutzman, really, I like him, and I also like Jack Kaiser from Notre Dame as well. But nobody like blew me away with their workout or anything where I was like, okay, this guy is killing me. This guy's like a must have it at the position there. Defensive line, though, I think there's some studs as far as the defensive line goes.
Jihad Campbell, that was the one that really stood out.
Jihad was the one.
As far as off ball
from Alabama, Jihad did. He's a guy I think probably that locked himself late first round with his workout. He's going to be one of those guys that gets picked by a team that just needs a really good defensive player, but, you know, maybe a certain position that would be available there is not a position that they need to take. Like maybe you got a good D line, so you don't need to take a D tackle. And then you just sit there and you got Jihad there. And it's like, okay, let's take him. That's it. That's the only guy I think really like blew me. He's
Jalen Walker as far as the kind of off-ball linebacker.
I consider him more like D-line because he's an edge rusher. First off, Joshua Farmer for Florida State. Now, his numbers, like his RAS score wasn't super impressive. I think it was a 7-1-4.
Yep.
But you watch him, man. I'll say this. He's got some of that George Karloftis in him where he's got a crazy high motor. And he was working harder than I think anybody in those defensive line drills. He was just out here pushing and giving everything he had in those workouts. And that's the kind of guy that I look at. And I really, really like what I see there. Like, I don't want us to just live off of the RAS scores and say that's the only thing that makes you a good player. Because, you know, we had some guys last year that had some really nice RAS scores and they didn't do a damn thing when they went into the league. So I don't want you to think like RAS means that person's gonna be good. It just means that person's a very strong athlete.
Like Ben Sinnott's RAS is a lot better than production.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's gonna be that way for the future, but the first year, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, so let's not live off of RAS, but we are going to bring him up just because that is a very good idea of just how athletic these guys are in comparison to others at their position historically. But yeah, Joshua Farmer had a 7.14 RAS. Darius Alexander from Toledo, I thought he looked really awesome. 9.72 RAS.
I thought about drafting for the Chiefs in the mock.
You know, I will say this. After we did that mock, I was sitting there and I was thinking, and I was watching a little bit. No, we didn't take him.
Okay,
we didn't take him. No.
Thought
about it. I've been thinking a little bit more about it here lately. Like I'll say this: if we were doing that mock again now, I would certainly think about taking Darius Alexander a lot more than I would have a couple weeks ago when we did that mock. James Pierce Jr., I thought, made himself some money. He was a guy that, like, stuff came out about him, about some character issues with him as well. Like, he was a guy that you know, you kind of heard some problems behind the scenes for him. But, man, he showed up.
He did. He had a great combine.
4.47, 40, 9.35 RAS. Man, I don't know if he's a fit for what the Chiefs are looking for because he's more of a speed guy. But, man, he looked good. He really – and he was – going into the year, he was the top-rated edge rusher before the season started. So, big shout-out to him. One guy, I'll say this, I probably was most impressed with and thought, okay, I could see him wearing red and gold this fall. Landon Jackson, Arkansas edge rusher, huge, 6'6", 265, 40-inch vertical. He ran a 4.6 8.40. Now, I don't think he's a speed rusher at all. I think if you watch the tape, like he can't turn the corner like that. But 988 RAS, if he can figure out a way to improve his ability to go speed to power, I think he could be like an elite edge rusher. He looks like an incredible athlete, a guy that I think we've both been talking about here for the last few months, but that's a guy that really jumped out to me.
No, he did. Landon Jackson was a guy certainly – The sack numbers last year, you can't really go by that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's 6.5 2 years ago.
Right.
Not much, not half last year.
Right.
Of course, he had to miss a couple games there, you know, played 12 games. But yeah, Landon Jackson was awesome, but not as awesome as my guy.
Yeah, your guy, Derek Harmon from Oregon.
He 316 pounds running a 4.91.
Yeah, he ran a 4.91 40. He did not do all of the other. He didn't do every of the other workouts that would have contributed to an RAS. So I didn't see an RAS for him. But in the drills, he looked very agile. And I'll say this, man. Hartman's an athlete, man. I think he's probably not going to be there at 31.
For a guy that was on a lot of mocks at the end of the first round, or not even at all.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see him actually at like 13, 14.
I'm seeing him top 20 in a lot of them.
Hartman definitely made that combine jump.
Yeah, I think he was starting to make that jump before the combine. Because I was seeing him top 20 in a lot of mocks before. But now I think he's definitely a locked top 25. I think what we saw this weekend, what we saw last Thursday, I think he's definitely a lock for top 25. And I think he was top five as far for defensive linemen as far as like bench reps go, too. I think he was like 24, 26, something like that. I think he's good. I think Harmon definitely out of the picture for the Chiefs, but would be a guy that would be interesting to see fall to them. Moving on to the Friday session, which had DBs and tight ends. First off, I'll say this about the tight end position. The guys that worked out did not impress me. I was not impressed at all.
Maxwell Hairston didn't impress you?
I'm talking about for tight ends.
Oh, for tight ends.
I'm sorry, for tight ends first. Oh, I want to get that over.
We're starting tight ends. Okay.
Tight ends. I was not impressed.
Yeah, it wasn't impressive. Like, I mean, guys that I expected more out of, like a Harold Fannin.
Yeah,
slower than I thought.
I was really, really disappointed with Fannin. That's a guy I've been really interested in as probably a day two guy for the Chiefs. Ran a 4.71 40, which is not terrible for a tight end, but the problem with it is Harold Fannin is a smaller tight end.
He is a smaller, right? He's measured like 6'3".
He's like 6'3", 230.
Which I think was good for him at that point. But there was a lot of Terrence Ferguson, I think, probably the best combine for tight ends.
Him and like Jalen Conyers as well for Texas Tech, I thought.
Tyler Warren really wasn't doing anything. Nope. Colson Loveland wouldn't do anything.
Elijah Arroyo didn't do anything.
Ferguson was the fastest at 4.63.
Right. Yeah. I was disappointed in Fannin because I was like, with him being an undersized tight end, I was hoping he could be like maybe in the low 4.6s or the high 4.5s.
Coming in about 240 and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're not as big as the other guys are. You're not as tall as the other guys are. So I was hoping to see a little bit more from him. Not only that, but he was very up and down at the Senior Bowl anyway. So that was disappointing. And then Gunnar Helm. I think Gunnar Helm is, as a tight end, like what we saw during the season, he looked fine. Like, he looked good. But what was it, 4.84 40 time, 4.49 RAS?
On tape, he looked great because he looked, I was telling you, this guy looks extremely athletic.
Yeah.
He was making some plays and leaps over players and stuff. And I was like, man, this guy's good yards after catch.
Right.
I was very surprised.
I was very interested in what he was going to show.
Vertical, only 30. He had 30, 1.69, and 10 yard splits.
Like that part just, that was disappointing because Gunnar Helm was a guy I thought he could have locked himself into the second round if he would have had a really good showing on Friday. And I didn't see that from him. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, maybe he looks really good at the pro day when you get that home cook in, and maybe you see him kind of lock himself into that second round, maybe even, you know, second round, more than likely third and fourth round. But yeah, like, that was a guy I was really looking forward to seeing, and I didn't see anything that impressed me a whole lot. Now, as far as the DBs go, you brought up Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. Man, he's got some speed on him. I think he's more of a slot corner because I think the size, you know, he's like, what, 5'10 something? And
4.28 though, man.
Yeah, but he's
5'11.
Yeah, but like I think the size, I think that probably pushes him inside. He probably plays as a slot. But he's a guy that I would look at. A few years from now, he might be one of the best slot corners in the league.
I mean, I another guy that stood out to me, obviously, was Jahdae Barron.
Yeah, Jahdae Barron.
He really stood out. He was 4.39 guy.
Yeah, and that's going to be important because he is a very good man cover corner. And so that's going to be something that you're going to hear about a lot, is the speed and his ability to play man. That's going to be an interesting guy to. Another guy I thought made himself some money is Nick Emmanuel-Worry, the safety from South Carolina.
Dude.
He was 10 RAS, 4.440. He's an athlete. I'll say this. I thought he was the most impressive DB that we saw.
43-inch vertical from him. That nobody had a higher one in the whole combine.
Which is one of the greatest of all time. It's one of the greatest of all time.
11-foot-6-inch broad jump, ranking not only number one for the safeties, but of all positions.
Yes.
Two disciplines, he was the best at the combine.
That's one of the best broad jumps that we've ever seen. Like, those broad jumps, if you get over 10 feet on a broad jump, that's great, let alone to go over 11 feet.
He's the fastest 10-yard split, too. I mean, the guy dominated a lot of stuff.
Emmanuel-Worry, I thought, may have played himself into a late first-round selection.
Yeah, I think top safety. I mean, there's people now thinking not Malachi Starks.
I don't know. I think Malachi's a little bit better as an actual safety, but Emmanuel-Worry as an athlete, man,
he was good.
I think he made himself a lot of money.
Yeah, he
might have made himself the most money than anybody at the combine.
Three different disciplines, not two, that he was number one at.
So I think he might have made himself the most money out of anybody in this class. No, Emmanuel-Worry was very impressive. We finally got an official size on Shavon Revel Jr. 6'2", 196. So obviously he was going to be smaller than what he was listed at. But, you know, it was like 6'1", almost 6'2", anyways, at the Shrine Bowl.
I'm just glad it's not 6'1".
So, you said what?
He was listed at 6'3", but I was thinking maybe 6'1".
Yeah, when they took measurements at the Shrine Bowl, it was like almost 6'2", but not quite.
Yeah.
And they listed him as 6'2", at the combine. Perfect. So, good size on him. I mean, yes.
Hell, even at 6'1", would have been fine.
Yeah, even at 6'1", you'd have been fine. But, yeah, 6'2", 196, really good size. It means he's actually gained 8 pounds from what he was weighing at the Shrine Bowl. I don't even know if they measured his hand size. I'll say this, two guys I was really disappointed in: Kobe Bryant and Melo Dodson. Very disappointed in
KU crew.
They were not that fast. Those guys
was 4.53.
Yeah. And they were over the 4.5 mark, which to me, if you're over the 4.5 mark as a especially playing in the Chiefs system where you're playing a lot of man, no.
Melo was dead last at the corners at 4.59.
I know. He was almost 4.6. I was not impressed. I think he might have to move out to safety at that speed. And, I was disappointed in Kobe for sure, because I thought Kobe's a guy, like, very confident. At the Shrine Bowl, there was reports he was talking trash to those receivers out there. But, man, you go out there and you do – oh, man, that was the one. Like, him and Kobe and Melo were the two guys I was really the most interested in at DB.
Yep.
And I was disappointed. So, you know, maybe they'll play more – they'll find, like, a more zone-based system they can play in and they'll be just fine. But, yeah, I was a little disappointed by that. So the big day was Saturday. And Saturday was quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. And, you know, we've talked about all year long how good this running back class is, how deep it is. You don't need to go one in the first round. But, man.
4.48 was the average 40.
Right, which is really fast. You also got to remember, like, a lot of these running backs, you're not running a whole lot of straight line, just get down the field as fast as you can. You're having to make cuts and whatnot. So 40 times not as important on a running back as it would be a wide receiver or a DB. So that's the reason why, like, 40 time I wasn't that super interested in.
Well, think about this. Running back. 4.37 is what Pacheco has.
Right. But you don't even see it.
You don't see that blazing 4.37 downfield.
No, because he doesn't break runs like that.
You gotta have open space.
Right. So I'll say this. Amari Hampton, man, that kid. He came in at 5'11", 221, a 993 RAS. To me, he was the best-looking running back there. I've said basically since the start of the season. He's incredibly smooth out there as a running back. Just does such a good job of finding space. That's what the Chiefs need, is a guy that can find space out there. But I think Hampton probably put himself out of range to be drafted by the Chiefs, because, I mean, they might be able to get him at 31, but I'm not taking a running back at 31. So I think he's probably out of the running for the Chiefs. But, man, he looked good.
Yeah, would he have two running backs in the first round now, or do you have three?
I've got one still.
I got Jinty in here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hampton.
I'm not quite sold that Hampton goes first round, but it also wouldn't shock me if somebody in the 20s took him. I still am going just Jinty right now because I don't think Jerry Jones is going to be able to help himself. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Omari and Hampton
was the 4.46 at his size?
Yeah.
Over 6 foot, 220 pounds.
Yeah, no, really good 40 time. Another guy I thought, of the running backs, I thought he probably made himself the most money, was DJ Giddens.
Yep.
Kansas State. He scored a 989 RAS. He ran a 4.48, and he came in at 6 foot, 212 pounds. He is big. He is massive. Like, that was one of the things. I thought he was going to be under 6 feet. I thought he was going to be like 5'10", 5'11".
And not only that, but he had that home run threat ability.
Yeah, and he's
got... just basically take a game over for
right.
Kansas State when asked upon. And as far as, you know, receiving, not a ton. He had almost 30 receptions 2 years ago, 20
right.
run this year.
Not a whole bunch.
But he can catch better than what... I mean, obviously, they went a different direction as far as throwing out of the backfield, but...
Yeah.
But he's definitely a guy that can still do it.
No, I was incredibly impressed with what I saw from him. Giddens is a guy, I'll say this, if the Chiefs want to go get a sleeper day, like early day three, get some good value, I think DJ Giddens might be that guy. I like I said, I'm kind of starting to get more into the mindset of get a bigger back that is going to be more agile and do a better job of maneuvering through the holes that the the offensive line gives him and isn't just looking to just run straight into contact like we see with Pacheco.
No, and Giddens, by the way, fourth on Kansas State in receptions, 21.
Yeah.
And they didn't throw, and Dylan Edwards, you think of him as catching out of the back, he only had 19.
So. Yeah.
They didn't really throw to the backs.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I think he made a very good case for himself. I think he made himself some money for sure. That's a guy I was very happy for him with how he performed. Caleb Johnson from Iowa, he ran a 4.58 on the 40. I'm not too concerned about that. Again, 40 time, not quite as important. Came in at 6'1", 224. He's massive. He's very big for a running
back. Big dude. He dropped a little bit. I think a lot of people's eyes, Caleb.
Yeah, I think so. I think because a lot of people get too enamored with that 40 time. But like for me with Caleb, it was never about the 40 to begin with. You watch him run, and I hate to say it because like their uniforms are kind of similar, so I don't want to say it, but he kind of looks like Lev Bell, man.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Lev Bell with his patience and how he kind of lets those blocks develop and he's not just trying to rush through. I really like what I saw from Caleb. I know a lot of people aren't going to be enamored just because of the 40 times not that great and whatnot, but I am a big fan of Caleb. If I had my choice of backs based on the value, he would be my guy, but I also really like DJ Giddens too. Another guy, and you've talked about him a lot before the year, I was out on him for a while, but I'm kind of getting back in on him, is Donovan Edwards from Michigan. He ran a 4.45 at the combine. Came in at 5'11", 220. Good size on him. A little bit smaller than like height wise than what we thought.
I
thought
nasty, he would be over 6 feet for his size too. He does,
but he's very powerful.
He's great out of the backfield catching.
He can catch passes. He can pass protect. He looked very good at pass protection at the Senior Bowl.
He's also the strongest running back, 23 bench press.
Very, very strong. That's one of the things. Like you watch him, he's very strong. He's very physical. We talked about him back in the 23 season, and between him and Blake Corum, and I think we both agreed he was the more. I think he had the better chances of being a good pro because of the size. Because Blake Corum is under 5'10".
He had two touchdown runs over 45 yards in that one game. That was basically it. They didn't really use him much, but he had that home run ability.
Right, because Corum was a little bit shiftier and better in between the tackles. And I don't even know if Donovan Edwards is going to be a great running back in terms of actually running the football. But at the very minimum, I think he can be a Samaje Perine type, catch the ball, pass protect, and I think there's value there. So,
Kamen is a big-time prospect, I do believe.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he was obviously on the cover of College Football 25 last year, so there was a lot of hype for him. Like I said, we had him as one of our top five backs going into the season. He did not perform like a top five back, but I think Donovan Edwards looked good, and I think Donovan Edwards is someone that don't sleep on the Chiefs skipping on running back throughout the rest of the draft and then going Donovan Edwards late on day three. Don't sleep on that because based on what we've seen from Veach loves to go out and find steals, and I think Donovan Edwards could be a steal. Another guy, Ollie Gordon as well, is another guy I think would be a guy that Veach would try to go and get a steal on.
And he's one that's falling, hovering around. This guy a couple years ago, I thought, man, this guy had a chance at first round. Years ago.
Certainly possibly. Like, especially, after 23.
But fall off last year, for sure.
After 23, there was a lot of going into 23, there was a lot of hype for him potentially overtaking Blake Corum as the better pro prospect. He didn't play like that during the season, but you still saw some spurts of him. This was going to be a big year for him. He got outshined by Kalel Mullings there at Michigan, but... I think this is a good opportunity for him to redeem himself here. As far as quarterbacks go, really only a couple to me worth noting. Jackson Dart, I thought he was the best quarterback at the combine. He looks like he's probably going to be a decent pro. I don't know if he's ever going to be a full-time starter.
Say that Tyler Shuck looked the best, and
I disagree with that.
Will Howard did not have a great combine.
Will Howard looked – he was – and I put that on here. He was the worst-looking quarterback to me at the combine.
Yeah, Brady Cook. He was okay.
He's all right.
He showed backup in the NFL.
Riley Leonard looked okay. He looked okay. Yeah. Like, he made some throws. You could see why teams liked him. But, yeah, Jackson Dart, to me, was the best quarterback at the combine.
Yeah, I think he positioned himself as number three.
Yeah, I think he's probably an early round two guy. Some team's going to probably, do the Will Levis. Hey, let's get him early second round, see if we can make that our solution. And then, Will Howard, I don't think he's draftable. Just based on what I saw this year, based on what I saw at the combine, I will say this. I don't care if it's a seventh round pick. If you're using a pick on Will Howard, I think you're wasting a pick. Yeah. So, wide receivers. Good day for a lot of receivers. Bad day for some. As you brought up earlier in the show, Isaiah Bond, man, he was talking a lot of trash on the day before the receivers worked out. He guaranteed he was going to beat Xavier Worthy's 4-2-1 record 40 time at the combine.
I don't know why he would do that.
Like, I don't know why he would do that. That was a terrible idea.
I mean, he was saying he might be in the 4-1s.
Yeah, he thought he was going to be in the 4-1s is what he was saying.
But he was still fast.
He was fast.
He was still fast.
Yeah.
But not 4-2-1 fast.
He ran a 4-4 flat. He ran a 4-4-1 his first time, a 4-4 flat his second time. I don't want to say, because I get a lot of flack because I'll say like some 40 times are slow. Like somebody in the draft broadcast last year was like, you're crazy if you think running a 4-5, you know, mid 4-5 40 is slow. And it's like, you're right. It's not slow for the average person, but for whatever position we were talking about at the time, it was slow. And that's the reason why. He ran a 4-4 and this guy was talking about running a 4-2. A 4-1. Like, come on now. Like, I don't care what he was doing ahead of time when he was working out and practicing for this 40 time. You don't need to go out there and hype yourself up like that.
There was 9 receivers faster than him.
Yes. He had a teammate that was faster than him, Matthew Golden, who ran a 4-2-9.
Matthew Golden's now basically put himself in the first round.
He locked himself in the spot that we both thought Isaiah Bond was going to be in at the beginning of the year, which is late first round.
I've seen more and more mocks today with Matthew Golden in the first round.
Yeah, like Matthew Golden, I think, has locked himself late first round, and Isaiah Bond has locked himself into maybe a late day three pick. Like I said, 4-4 is not slow for a receiver. It's actually very, very good for a receiver.
No, it is. There's one guy, you have him on your list here, but Dante Thornton at Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah. Not much production.
Not much production, but he did look good.
He's 6'5", 200 pounds, but he ran a 4.3.
He looked good.
He's got the size, too. Inconsistencies at times, but 6'5 and running 4.3. Come on.
Yeah, like I said, production does not match. The tape does not match, so... You know, that's the reason why I didn't put him on the list.
Yeah.
But, yes, he did. Like, he surprised me because his size and speed combo, he came off as a little bit of MVS type there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Matthew Golden, as I brought up, 4.29. Jalen Knoll from Iowa State, Kansas City kid.
Park Hill.
He ran a 4.38 and a 9.58 RAS. Yeah. He looked good. He's a little bit under 6 feet. I think he's probably more so a slot guy.
Slot.
But he looked good, man. I was very impressed by Jalen Knoll, for sure.
No, he did. I mean, the Iowa State receivers in this group, I mean, you think about that looking good. And Jalen Knoll, not a lot of people were expecting a ton from him.
Yeah.
But he turned some heads.
He turned some heads, for sure. And his teammate, Jayden Higgins, ran a 4.47.
Yeah.
Jayden Higgins is huge. He's like 6'4", over like 217 or something like that.
A couple good receivers.
987 RAS. I'll tell you this. At his height, at 6'4", over almost 220, for him to be running under 4.5 on a 40 is really nice. Yeah. That's really good. I mean, he's almost Mike Evans size, and he's faster than him. So I think Jayden Higgins, he might be a priority second-round guy. Like, don't be shocked when we're doing our broadcast on Friday if somebody trades up into the top 10 of the second round to take him.
Yeah, I think you can – again, this is – I'm not against two receivers in this draft because it's – I think it's rather deep. I mean, it's not top heavy at the top.
It's not, no.
But there is serviceable guys in there.
Yeah. One guy, though, I'm out on. As a guy I was very impressed by at the Senior Bowl and during the season, I'm out on him now. Tez Johnson.
Yeah, we like Tez a lot.
I'm out on him. He ran a 4.51, 7.66 RAS. Mm. Like I said, the size doesn't mean that much to me because if you're tough, you're tough. Xavier Worthy's tough. He's little. He's probably like just over 170, 5.11. He's tough. He can play in the league. He proved it this year. Tez came in. He's 156. Was he 5'9"? Not very big at all. And he's not that fast. Now, I'm not saying he's slow. 4.51, for a lot of guys, that's a really good number. But when you are that size, you want to be fast because you can't take the big hit in the NFL when you're not even 160 pounds.
He was one of the slowest receivers.
Yes,
he's coming in 154 pounds.
Right.
I mean, that's a concern there. Listen, Worthy's bigger than him.
Worthy came in and he lost weight so he could run that 4.21.
He at least ran a 4.21, which is different. But Tez,
if
too
Tez would have been like low 4.3s, I'd have been cool with
him. He's too small.
But like I said, to be that size and a 4.51, and I think, and you know what? A lot of people made this point that he's probably faster than he showed there. He was very disappointed in those numbers. You could see it after he finished. I think he might be able to, if he maybe at the as pro day, he probably runs somewhere in the mid to high 4.4s. But still, even if you're at that size running in the 4.4s, I still don't think that that's great, because you got to be able to get away from these guys if you're that small.
Yeah.
That's the reason why Worthy is fine at his size, because he's the fastest guy in the league. So it's like you can work around that. Mm-hmm. You got a guy who's shifty, who's fast, who can get away from guys. Who's Tez getting away from? Like all these DBs are faster than him.
And yeah, he's get pushed down and can't just make that lay around.
It takes one hit.
Yeah.
Like this is the reason why I wasn't super big on like Dat when the Chiefs took him. Like you remember this back. Yep. This is back when I was working in promotions. This is before I was even on the air, and I remember telling you and Lake. Yeah, I was doing the draft broadcast, and I was like, dude, like I'm not a fan of Dat, because Dat actually ran a good 40 time, but the size was a big concern to me, and it's like, if you don't, because he didn't have the size to be a running back and he didn't have the skills to be a wide receiver.
But he was one of those versatile tweeners, though.
Yeah, and he was when he was at Oregon. But you get to the NFL, it's different, man. Yeah. You got to have something special if you're going to be that size. And I didn't think he had it like that, because he didn't kill the way that you saw like Worthy do it at the combine last year with his 40. I'm really concerned about Tez Johnson, and I would love to be wrong about him. I would love if he found himself as like a good special teamer, but like I'd be concerned about him returning punts, because all it takes is one hit. All it takes is one of these guys trying to make a name for themselves, and they bust him open on one of these plays, fumble, scoop up, take it back. I'm worried about that. So that was concerning to me. Luther Burden from Mizzou, whose draft stock is falling. Like, some people don't even have him listed in their top 32.
You know what, though? Here's the, in all fairness, though, of Luther, there's a few mocks I was looking at, some reputable ones, where he was sitting there, like 21 and 22.
I've seen him in the teens and some, too.
Yeah, 21 and 22.
I've seen him as high as like 13.
Mixed reviews at the combine. There's some that says he's just fine. He was just fine at the combine.
Yeah. I thought he was fine.
4.41, just fine.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. Like 4.41, 4.40, fine. I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm actually fine with that, because like a lot of people are comping him to like Debo. Debo was a 4.38 guy. I'm fine with that. Like I said, I don't have any issues with what I saw from Luther Burden. I'm not in on first round receiver, but if Luther Burden is sitting there at 31,
yeah, it's too tempting.
I think you got to do it,
and he might be close to it.
I think you got to do it. I think he's pretty. I think I'll say this. If I had to say whether or not he gets picked before pick 24, I'll say no. Mm-hmm. I think his draft stock is falling. But I'll say this. If he's sitting there at 31, when we're doing our draft broadcast that Thursday, I will pound the table for Luther Burden if he's sitting there at 31.
At the landing at Liberty, by the way. We'll be back for year two. But here's the one thing. Luther Burden, I think, is going to also benefit from the guys at the top. There's not a ton to throw. You throw it, Tedrone McMillan, definitely that's the direction you're going. Emmanuel Igbuka is a guy you're going to get.
Yeah, Igbuka's probably going to go before him.
To me, Luther would be third.
Yeah. I like I said, I'm sad. I feel bad for him, because it sucks watching your draft stock fall like that. I guarantee you that's got to be something that's eating at him right now. Mm. But at the same time,
one of the guys I really like, too, is Tosh Felton.
Yeah.
He's over 6 foot.
Ty Felton.
Ran really
love
good
him.
44.
Three, I love him.
4.3.
Was it 4.38?
4.37?
Yeah. No, I've been a big fan of him.
Ty.
I've been a big fan of him all year long, especially later in the season. Super productive. I think he was over 100 catches, over 1,000 yards. Really, I love him. I'm a big fan of Felton. I'd be all for the Chiefs looking at him day two. But yeah, if Luther Burden is there at 31, I'm immediately like, go grab him. I don't care about defensive tackle. Let's go grab him. And then Elegaya Manor, my guy, 4.47 40. He's 6'2", over 200 pounds. So.
Great hands, great route runner.
I mean, great route runner, 9.56 RAS. That would be my guy too. I would wish they would take him in the second round, not the first round. But if they took him first round, I'm cool with it. I'm fine with it. Him and Burton are the only two receivers I'd be interested in first round. That's it. So now we got to talk about these offensive linemen. Like I said, I did not watch the offensive linemen yesterday. I actually went back and watched the defensive backs and the tight ends yesterday. I don't think tackle's on the table this year.
It's not.
It's a T-Rex class for
like
offensive
the short
tackles.
Arms. Connerly came in 33 and a half. Ursary came in 33 and 8.
A lot of people like Ursary too, but he's under 34.
Josh Simmons, 33. Kelvin Banks, 33 and a half.
Yep.
I mean, it was one of those situations. You look at these arm lengths and
no reach.
Again, Andy Reid, 34 and a quarter. This is why, and Tooney's 32 and a quarter, which is total guard length.
They have never drafted, Andy Reid has never drafted a tackle with less than 34 inch arms.
And here's the other thing, too.
In his time in Kansas City.
And what we're seeing is from Mizzou, Armon Mimbo. Mimbo.
Mimbo.
And Mimbo. It's like Skedaboo. Mimbo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Who would have thought going in this year that he'd be the highest drafted Missouri player over Luther Burden?
I know, right?
And there's talks about him being the first offensive lineman coming off. Now, he had 33 starts he logged at Missouri, or at 30 starts at right tackle.
Yeah, he's not a left tackle, by the way. He's a right tackle.
And there's a lot of talk about moving him to guard.
Yes.
And he's sitting there. And
there are multiple teams that have mentioned moving him to guard.
I don't think he's wild about that.
No.
And he, you know, staying at tackle, here's the one thing. People were worried about his height and stuff. He did come in at 6'4".
Yeah, good. But, that's a good minimum for height for tackles.
There's two tackles. So they were doing the combine, some of the NFL guys. Tristan Wirfs and Trent Williams. Now, they're listed a lot of times as 6'5 on the roster or whatever.
Right.
But they're technically 6'4".
6'4 and change.
So basically, they're his size.
Yeah.
For Mimbo. I'm just saying there's two of the best tackles in the game. Not saying, you know, but you're in a situation where the top tackle could be a right tackle.
And being 6'5 or 6'6 at tackle doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good. I mean, we've seen a lot of guys who were tall but weren't good.
Another Kansas City kid, though, Mimbo.
Yeah, Mimbo. Yeah, him. Obviously, Ariante Ursary's from here as well. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think there's a draftable tackle for the Chiefs this year. A guy I talked about. While you were gone, Logan Brown, tackle from Kent, he was under 34 inch arms. I don't think it's there. I don't. We've talked about it a lot. I mean, arm length is very important for Andy. He has had tackles under 34 inches, but those were guards that moved out. Those were guys like Andrew Wiley, Mike Rimmers, Joe Tooney, this most recent year. Guys who should not be playing tackle that played tackle because of an emergency-type situation. That is it. That is not a position that you want to – you want guys who got T-Rex arms out there.
No, I'm kind of laughing at Mimbo from Lisa North.
Yes.
Mizzou listed him at 6'3". He came to the combine over 6'4".
Yeah.
I mean, usually you see the opposite.
Yeah, usually it'd be 6'5 or 6'6, and he turns out to be 6'4.
He's the short of the man.
Yeah, no, you know these. That's why you don't ever take the college team measurements serious. You gotta always usually subtract an inch or two from their height, and that's what you go with. It's not that often you see them actually. You have to add on an inch to their height.
Yeah,
that's a little weird. But yeah, like I said, not. I understand there's a lot. I see people all the time. They tag us on these damn mock drafts talking about
short arms.
Take Josh Connerly at 30. No, Connerly under 34 inch arms. He's barely over 33. No, I'm not. This is not the year. No taking Cam Thomas. He's a right tackle. He is not a left tackle. Mimbo, not a left tackle. He's a right tackle. Like Will Campbell. Oh, let's trade up for Will Campbell. Will Campbell's a guard.
Yeah.
He was under 33 inches. He's like 32 and a half.
Mimbo had a lot better. He had bigger wingspan.
Yeah. Like seriously, like I think Will Campbell from LSU had like the shortest wingspan for a tackle ever at the combine ever, like 77.5-inch wingspan. It's not that great. I mean, it's great for someone of his size, but like generally you want those guys to have way longer arms.
And tell me this about LSU. How in the hell was a team with Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas not better than they were? I know they didn't have a defense back then.
You didn't have a defense. That's why.
It's rookies in the NFL, but LSU
didn't have a defense.
Like, I mean, seriously, those wide receivers and quarterback.
If they had a defense like Burrow and them had back during their national championship year,
it was Jaden freaking Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas.
They would have dominated. But like my Florida Gators that year, they had all those guys. My Florida Gators, they went up and down the field on them. Yeah, so yeah, that's the reason why they didn't win, because teams could go up and down on them. So. So that's it for this week's edition of the Character Concerns podcast. We would appreciate it if you downloaded, liked, subscribe, wherever you listen to podcasts. We would appreciate that. Next week, probably going to get into some mock drafts, get into some more news surrounding what the Chiefs are going to do in free agency. Because next week, I think free agency starts next week. I think.
The legal tampering attempt.
Legal tampering. So we'll know what.
That's essentially free agency.
Right. So we'll know what the Chiefs are going to do here pretty soon.
Unless you don't have an agent.
Right. And then you could just do it yourself. Yeah. No, so next week, we'll hit on some free agency news. We'll hit on some mock drafts, do a mock draft roundup for you. So we'd appreciate it if you come back here next week. Obviously, as we get into the draft season, make sure you keep it locked here. For Jay Binkley, I am Christian Osero, and this has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win, and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.